Hi, and welcome. Thank you for joining us and listening to the Web Talk Guys radio show. My name is Rob Greenlee, and this is the place to hear about the future of the internet and technology. And we're up in the Seattle-Tacoma area, up in the wonderful state of Washington, which is the home of streaming media giants Real Networks, Microsoft, and our favorite, Amazon.com.
Home of Amazon.com. I'm Web Girl Dana over here on the other mic. It's great to have you guys with us. We want you all to crowd into this room with us here in the studio.
She's way over there.
This past week, wow, what a week. The Web Talk Guys show had a little bit of a controversy going on in relation to last week's guest. Any of you listened to last week's show? You didn't?
I did.
Okay. Well, you know, we had on the campaign coordinator for PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. Mm-hmm. I do support that. I shouldn't speak for Rob necessarily, but I know that we have a soft spot for animals.
Well, I'm a little bit of a moderate on that issue.
Yeah, you like to straddle the
fence. I love animals.
He loves animals. I think he disagrees a little bit with some of the
radical aspects of this issue. Yeah. I think it kind of gets a little out of hand sometimes in some of the perspectives that both sides have on the issue, and they kind of butt heads a little bit.
And we thank you guys for writing us. Some of you did a nice job of stating your views. Some of you did. We're kind of mean.
Let's be honest. It could be a little brutal on this issue, no question about it.
But we can move on to new and exciting topics. We have a new web guy joining our show this week and in coming weeks, nationally known tech commentator Frank Catalano. Those of you who have been with us for a while have heard him on the show a few times in the past, but he's promising to drop by a few more times, a more regular basis. He's going to contribute some articles, and he's going to talk on the show and give us some insight from his years of tech and broadcasting experience. And you can read his commentary on the front page of webtalkguys.com. We have his latest article right there.
That's right, and there's more coming right behind that. Frank is formerly a tech editor at Q13 TV up in Seattle. It was a Fox affiliate. And he regularly appears in national media to comment on all things tech. And he's also the author of the book, Internet Marketing for Dummies, and is currently a technology consultant for Catalano Consulting. Frank.
Well, all these things that you mentioned, and it sounds a lot more impressive than it really is, I think, but all those things you mentioned, I'm basically a commentator and analyst on what's happening in the technology world. And I do that for the Puget Sound Business Journal, for KCPQ-TV. I'm on camera several days a week talking about, you know, what does all this stuff really mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the real key behind all this stuff. It's easy to say, hey, something's dying or something's coming back, but, you know, what does it mean? How do you put it in perspective? That's what I try to do.
Boiling it down to the bottom line and really making it clear for people to understand what's happening, is that?
I mean, the whole idea here is it's easy to look at an individual event, but you really can't draw conclusions from individual events. So how do all the pieces fit together?
Gotcha.
I like to think of myself as sort of standing in the middle of an intersection with large trucks marked like IBM and Dell and Microsoft whizzing by, and I'm trying to look at the traffic pattern without getting squished.
That's what I was going to say. Stay out of the way of them, right?
Exactly.
You're also a consultant, and you do a lot of consulting gigs for tech companies. Why are you so busy in the face of this dot-com collapse? I understand that you're working with companies all over the country. How are you doing that?
I think part of it has to do with the fact that I didn't become a consultant during the dot-com boom. I've been a consultant in the technology area doing industry analysis and strategic marketing consulting since 1992. And I've actually been in the industry for a lot longer than that. So I've seen several of these boom-bust cycles.
Take care, Frank. And it's great to have him on the team, isn't it, Dana?
Absolutely.
Frank can be found online at CatalanoConsulting.com. This week, the focus of the show is on instant messaging and the growing use of video and audio with those instant messenger tools out there. Microsoft actually announced this week greater abilities with webcam video with its MSN IM service. And we're going to speak with an independent site out there that has about 18 million downloads of its open platform IM software that's being used by troops overseas to communicate with families and friends via video. We're going to speak with PALTALK.com CEO Jason Katz.
Since I started the company, we've had 18 million downloads. We have in excess of 40,000 people simultaneously connected to the system. I'm not too far from Madison Square Garden in New York, and I look at that and I figure that's two Madison Square Gardens filled up with people. The most dynamic uses are really these, call them a virtual chat room, but they're audio and video enabled, and we've categorized them and allowed users to create their own rooms and be the administrator of their own room. This is a thriving, active community. One of the other interesting things that's been going on, we understand, is that people who have been deployed on Navy ships, which are connected to the Internet, are able to use this with their friends and family at home to speak in real time as well as view video of their families. That was certainly not something I anticipated when I started this company in 1998. The people, you know, figure out the best use of the technology. Yeah, it's just a great thing.
We're also going to have an open discussion about both sides of the dreaded spam email issue.
Spam! The ugly word.
We're importing in some more web guys for that. Techies Mitch Radcliffe, who's formerly chief content officer for on24.com and current tech blogger at radcliffe.com/bizblog. And Harry from informharry.com. He's quite a character. If you can picture Jesse Ventura, that's the picture of Harry. And also joining us, web guy Jim Crabb. He helped found TacomaNetwork.com. Rob, your job is to wrangle these wild guys into submission, right?
Yes, but I'm going to do it, though. I'm going to hold on to them all and make sure they don't start punching each other.
Do stay tuned for that exciting topic.
Part of the problem is that it's, you know, spam is like having to go to the doctor and get a shot. You'd just like to go to the doctor and hear that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
not you know, have them pull out the syringe and go, well, just bend over.
Plus, I think...
I got to say, if one more person tries to sell me Viagra online, I'm going to get a complex.
All that ahead here on Web Talk Guys Radio. Some important news and trends we want to make you aware of this week from around the net. A must-have open IAM software besides Peltalk.
Mm-hmm.
And sudo.com is back from the dead. And of course, our digital mailbag.
Dana, the open software that you were referring to there is a software product called Trillion. And it is, I would say, the leading open platform for instant messenger. And basically what the open platform really refers to is the ability to pull in all of the instant messenger services out there, the AOL instant messenger, the MSN instant messenger, the Yahoo instant messenger, and the largest and original instant messaging service, ICQ. And this is really important because not all those platforms are compatible with each other. So what this company has done, not unlike what Paltalk has done as well, is make connections with all these other services that people may have a subscription to. Like, I'm a member of ICQ and the MSN Messenger, and I have to have both of those clients loaded on my machine at any given time and separately work with them, where this software at Trillian.cc, and that's Trillian.cc, will actually access all those networks simultaneously. So you can have a buddy list that includes everybody that you might have on each one of those networks.
And there's something else I kind of like, because I'm a girl and I like designs and art. You could have skins for this little cute Trillion thing. Make it all your own, the look and feel.
Yeah,
but there's some negative things about it too, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, not a whole lot of negative things, though. There's some challenges with a lot of different, you know, online software too, is with firewalls and it's available only in the Windows platform. But I'm sure over time they're going to add capabilities to that. But CNET actually gave it an 8 out of 10 rating, which is pretty high. There's a whole bunch of other open platforms out there, too, that pull in the IM tools. But the 1.0 version, it's the Trillion Pro, it actually costs $25. But they do have a free version, and it's their .74 version. So you can go to, like I said earlier, trillian.cc, and that's Trillian.cc, and pick that software up.
Of course, more about instant messaging that is cross-platform compatible when we talk with Paltalk in a few minutes. And the thing about Paltalk is they are compatible for audio and, of course, video, and Trillion is not yet compatible for audio.
You know, it's just really cool that the movements that are happening there is the growth of broadband continues.
Well, Rob, Pseudo.com. Let me spell that. P-S-E-U-D-O. I remember them way back when. I mean, just at the time we started Web Talk Guys in 99, because I know that we were one of their distribution points. We had a pseudo feed on our Web Talk Guys site back then. And then they promptly went out of business just about the time, you know, I became their affiliate. But they're back.
Yeah. They're back from the dead. And I think what happened to Pseudo is they just came out too soon. I mean, it was before there was broadband. And because what this company does is it produces essentially television content for the internet. And back when they started in 2001, broadband didn't have a strong adoption out there. And so now they're bringing it back to life because the original bankrupt company was actually purchased by a New York-based company called INTV. And they actually bought the company for $1.8 million, which is a good chunk of change, though, when you think about it. But they've launched they're about to launch a new one-hour TV show that's basically a hip-hop program that's going to be hosted by the rapper Ice-T. And what's fascinating about this is that it's also going to be distributed over the Kazaa peer-to-peer network.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that so? You can just swap the files, the MPEGs or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of a growing trend of the peer-to-peer P2P networks being used to distribute multimedia content, which it does a very good job of, but even like radio shows like Web Talk Guys could be distributed through a P2P. I see CNET Radio Direct is now distributed through a peer-to-peer distribution network as well. So this is a growing trend here is what we're seeing of video content being distributed commercially over these peer-to-peer networks. Works.
Good. So when you're downloading your porn at Kazaa, you can also download Ice-T's hip-hop show.
Well, I think music is going to be disappearing off of these peer-to-peer networks, so there's got to be something to replace it with.
That's true. Well, it's time to pull out the digital mailbag. Yep, that's our email that we get every week from you guys. We really appreciate the comments that you make about our show, even if you really take us to task about liking animals. But a lot of you take advantage of our newsletter. You sign up for our e-newsletter that we send out every few weeks to you. And at that moment when you sign up, you give us your thoughts about all things tech. And so we pulled a few of them to share.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this one was a email that came to us from a listener out there that asked us, basically, he's been enjoying the Web Talk Guys site and was just wondering if we had ever given a consideration to having our show available via the Ogg Vorbis format stream. And That's an interesting question. I mean, what I responded back to him basically was that Ogg Vorbis is just an additional format that we would have to encode our show in, and it really doesn't have a solid distribution out there or players that could actually play that stream format. So I basically told him that when that reached a certain level that we would encode our show in that, but for us to add a fifth format to our distribution didn't make any sense at this time.
That was Seth that wrote you. And Seth, thank you for educating me, because the only thing I knew about Ogg Vorbis was that it was one of the files in my pull-down menu on my Wave editor. It was there. I guess I could have used it or done something with it, but I now know a little bit more thanks to Seth.
Well, actually, Ogg Vorbis is part of the merger of the new platform that Real Networks is on. It's an open standard streaming media format that Real Networks is now supporting. So it is a growing phenomenon out there that may reach a greater distribution in the future as people shy away from proprietary technology.
Oh, good. This is something we should have on the streaming media show. We should talk about.
Yeah, we should.
Other formats besides the top big guys.
That's right.
Well, I got an email from Martin Claussen, and he's from Denmark.
Cool.
And I was very happy to get this because I also was educated in streaming media. Boy, the things we don't know. I mean, all of us need to share, and I appreciate this. Morton wrote that he was wondering if maybe we would include ID3 tags on our MP3s. He likes to listen to his MP3s on his Winamp on our show, and that would enable a sort of like a little headline or description of the show to stream by like we do already with Windows and Reel. And he says it just, you know, it's a cosmetic thing, but, you know, it would look much better in his Winamp. And that's great because I just had never thought of that. And that's bad.
Plus, he can actually see what the show content is because it's just like a title.
Yeah.
You know.
So this week, I will do that.
Cool.
I will do that. Also, it's interesting. I just wanted to make a quick note that we've been seeing, as always, a lot of people signing up from other countries to listen to Web.Guys. Of course, we're on the radio locally in our neck of the woods, but we're you know, international. We're global on the web. So, I mean, just one day, we had someone, Jeff from Hong Kong, and Manduk from Vietnam. Manduk is in the kindergarten through grade 12 age range, and that's what he indicated. I thought that was interesting. And from Pakistan, Ijaz-ur-Rahman. And I do apologize if I didn't say your names right.
Well, that was a valiant effort, though.
We're thrilled.
Stay tuned, because up next we're going to have Paltalk.com CEO Jason Kantz on the line. And he's going to tell us about the growth of webcam video and audio on his huge IM network of 18 million people. This is WebTalk Guys Radio.
We here at the WebTalk Guys need to stay in touch with what's happening in the local business community. That's why we all rely on our daily dose of the South Sound Business News with the Business Examiner Daily. The Business Examiner Daily is delivered free via email each weekday afternoon to subscribers with the top local business stories of the day. It's a quick read, and I've really come to depend on the Business Examiner Daily for its timely, relevant business news and a calendar of local business events. I recommend you sign up for this free email newsletter at their website, businessexaminer.com. Get all the business all the time at businessexaminer.com.
911 emergency response.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there, talk about www.com, and you got them naked chicks on there, man, you go click, 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 it's real easy, man.
Grab a board and surf the web with those crazy web talk guys.
You're back and connected to the Web Talk Guys radio show. Thank you for listening today, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm joined by Web Girl Dana.
That's right. Well, Jason Kantz is on the phone with us today. He's the founder and CEO of Paltalk. He's going to talk with us about this incredibly great little online instant chat network communication tool.
Yes.
It's amazing.
What's been downloaded by 18 million people.
And in particular interest is it's being used by the troops overseas to stay in contact with their family.
Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, why don't you give us an overview on how the Paltalk system works?
Okay. Well, Paltalk is an instant messenger, much like AOL or MSN or any of the instant messengers your listeners are used to. But it also interoperates with those messengers, so you can have your buddies from AOL or MSN or Yahoo appear on your Paltalk list, so you only have to run one buddy list instead of multiple.
Oh, that's terrific.
But more importantly, you can also do real-time audio and video. So there are large groups of people speaking on all kinds of different subjects and categories that you can hear in real time, just like I'm talking to you. And you can also respond to them, and you can also broadcast and view video in real time. So it's much more interactive than most of the other services.
How did you guys get started? Was there a certain catalyst that made you decide to start Paltalk?
Yeah, there sure was. I was an AOL Instant Messenger user myself and became frustrated by the fact that I had to type everything. And I thought it would be a nice idea, instead of clicking on a buddy and typing, perhaps we just click on a buddy and talk using a microphone and speakers, which would enable you to really talk all over the world for free, you know, for as long as you wanted. And that's what we launched with in January of 99. And for some perspective, that was before Yahoo even had a messenger or Microsoft had a messenger. There was just AOL and ICQ at the time.
Wow. Yeah. And before the big downfall of 2000.
Oh, yes. We're not a Silicon Valley company. We're launched out of New York City. And it really was just a labor of love that I found that this technology didn't exist. So buddy lists are great because they signal you as to when your friends, family are online, so you don't have to schedule something. But typing, I didn't feel was the best use of the web, which is just a tremendous communications network. So no reason not to send voice or video over the same connection, and that's really what led us where we've come.
So how does your technology differ from like an ICQ? Is there anything that you guys are doing? Now, obviously, you guys are integrating all these other provider services as well. Is there anything different that you're doing?
Right. So it of course interoperates, but as I said, most of the other messengers we were talking about don't have the video or audio capability, and certainly not in a group format that we do.
Okay.
We have several hundreds of people in a group that are able to hear what's going on and able
wow.
to talk.
That's
so
good.
It's a much more dynamic mm-hmm. community, whereas the other ones tend to be really one-on-one instant messaging systems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jason, give us a rundown for anybody who's interested in this. What kind of physical hardware do they need? Obviously, sound card, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a great story, actually. Since I started the company kind of a long time ago, the initial developer was using a Pentium 60 to do everything.
That was a long time ago.
One Pentium, not yeah. two, three, four. And I've even run it on a 486, if I hate to say that for your audience out there. So,
that's right.
You know,
that's all right. We all ran 486s.
Yeah, and that was good at 486. But anyway, everybody's computer today currently is not going to have a problem. You know, very minimally, even 64 megs of RAM, any kind of Pentium chip. Sound card so you can hear, and also so you could have a microphone. And of course, the USB port is good if you want to do the video.
Mm-hmm.
That's led to the explosion in video in general, the fact that you have a USB port, which didn't exist 5 years ago, and cheap webcams, which you know enable everybody to really do the video. Of course, if you don't have a cam, that's okay. You're still able to view other people.
Obviously, you have your own proprietary player. You don't have to have, like, Windows Media Player.
No, nothing like that. We run on any Windows operating system, and again, it started from 95 and all the way through XP and everything in between. So I particularly run this on XP 98. I have Millennium on a laptop, so... we have users from every country, too, so we constantly have the issues with the hardware, but there's no, you know, it runs on everything, basically.
I know it would be best to have a broadband connection to actually use your service, but is it required?
It's not required, and again, that's because we predate a lot of heavy bandwidth in that the actual audio streams, when you're talking, are only about 2K per second. Which equates to like a 20K connection. So mm-hmm. a 28.8 dial-up is what we premise this on. So as long as you have at least that, it works quite well. If you're looking for video refreshing quickly, of course, that's not going to happen at 28.8. But you still will get the number of video windows you want, and they will still refresh, but not nearly as fast. Higher bandwidth
sure.
is a much nicer experience.
Jason, tell us some of the uses that the people that belong to PalTalk can use it for, some of the exciting ones and some of the maybe borderline ones, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the great thing about PalTalk is that we have in excess of 40,000 people simultaneously connected to the system.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not too far from Madison Square Garden in New York, and I look at that and I figure that's two Madison Square Gardens filled up with people.
Yeah.
And they're all online, so the most dynamic uses are really these, call them a virtual chat room, but they're audio and video enabled, and we've categorized them and allowed users to create their own rooms and be the administrator of their own room, which is sort of a neat thing. So some of the categories, for example, are, you know, as simple as meet new friends to distance learning to... We call it by language, and we have that broken into Europe, Spanish and Portuguese, Asian, the Far East. So basically, if you wanted to hear or participate in any kind of chat in any language, you could do that with us. We also have some teen rooms. We also have even some religion rooms. We have health and parenting. We have computers, of course, and high tech, which is a great place to get advice on stuff that's going on in your machine if you're having problems. We have a very, very... active karaoke music section where aspiring Britney Spears try out for other people. There's trivia going on. It's just really, it's everything that happens in the world.
Karaoke just fills your niche perfectly because they can't do that on MSN or Yahoo.
They really, you know, that it's really the content. You know, there's technology, but even the best technology, if not packaged in the right way for the consumer to use, is not very useful. And this is a thriving, active community. One of the other interesting things that's been going on, we understand, is that people who have been deployed on Navy ships, which are connected to the Internet, are able to use this with their friends and family at home to speak in real time, as well as view video of their families. And, you know, so that was certainly not something I anticipated when I started this company in 1998. But
wow,
the people, you know, figure out the best use for the technology,
yeah,
and that, you know, it's just a great thing.
Pal Talk is doing its patriotic duty to connect those families.
I think it is.
I'm just wondering if, you know, Saddam has a webcam hooked up. Can he find out some intricate details, I guess, that he couldn't already on CNN?
Well, I'm sure they're just talking to family, so they're probably not talking too much. That's
yeah,
for sure.
I would tend to doubt that. There's no high-security stuff going on here. But there are, you know, it's a very vibrant area where, you know, from sports to computers to the stock market to social issues. I mean, social issues always an interesting category for me, because after the elections in 2000, you know, Bush-Gore, it was going on for 6 weeks, and we didn't know who the president was.
Mm.
And every time you turned on the cable station, you know, they were talking about it, and they said, and if you want to interact with us, email us at whatever.
Oh, my.
And I would laugh at that, because email, that's no good. So there was a persistent room called Bush-Gore 2000 online with us that had several hundred people in it for 6 weeks.
Wow.
Talking about the issue, what the litigation was going to be, was there going to be a recount, what did it mean, what did all the rulings mean, and it was the most vibrant place, really, to discuss all sides of the issue. So it's really, it's providing a worldwide forum, you know, for people to sound off in real time, and not to watch, to participate.
We're having a conversation with Jason Katz. He's the founder and CEO of Pal Talk, an instant messenger chat room software that allows for audio and video in real time.
You guys recently launched a personal service, which is now kind of a little bit of a twist on the whole IM technology stuff, and you guys have coined a term out there. Could you kind of explain that a little bit about your
sure,
dating network that you have?
Yeah. We figured out a while back that our biggest asset was really our community of active users.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that was community-related would make a good sort of sub-business for us to be in. And the personals business is obviously a big business on the web in general. So it works right now. It's called palpersonals.com. And you can go and search by your region and interests and age group and all that stuff. You can also post video clips, which is kind of interesting because we're an audio-video company.
Mm-hmm.
We enable the user to upload a video of themselves, which people can then view, which is much better than just seeing static words or a picture. But beyond all of that, which isn't quite released yet but is coming very soon, is going to be a real-time search capability on all of those same factors. Therefore, if there are 40,000 people online with me right now, I'll be able to search, say, New York City, somebody in the right age group that snowboards, because I like to snowboard, and I'll be able to see if they're online and if they're broadcasting video in real time and be able to contact them.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
which
that's
I
great,
think is really incredible, and that's beyond what everybody else is doing.
You're going to put all the dating services out of business, I can see that.
I hope so.
That's the mission.
Of course, I just have to ask this follow-up question. Is there any adult areas or any criteria where a person that's putting out a personal information could put maybe something that's a little risque up on their video?
Right, not within the personals, actually. Within Pal Talk, there is an adult category, which, you know, probably comprised about 5% of the activity. But, you know, we put ratings on rooms, and we have G ratings, of course, and then we have an R rating, which is sort of the language if people want to do speak with any kind of language is not suitable.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to be 13 by the terms of service to even use Pal Talk. But then the A rating, there is a category, and there's some activity where people are just basically trying to meet other people. It's actually what it all comes down to, you know, because these kind of services are an opportunity in real time. Now, you can be sitting in the middle of nowhere with no people in that place, but if you're connected to the Internet, you know, you have a whole world of people online to talk to, and I think that's what people are looking for.
So did you guys have a hard time making compatible connections to the other services out there, you know, like ICQ and Yahoo and those kind of folks, to be able to pull their messaging and buddy lists into your system?
You know, it's a pet peeve of mine. I feel there should be a standard that everybody adheres to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to talk on the telephone, you don't care if anybody's on AT&T or Sprint or Quest or anything else, you should be able to call, and you can call from phone to phone. Same with email. We don't care who the provider is. You email somebody's address, you're going to get a message through. Mm-hmm. That's the way IM has to be. It's not the way it is, which is why I have stressed the interoperability. The first one that we were able to work with was AOL, and that's more than a year already.
Mm-hmm.
We've dedicated a lot of resources to it. I think it's it's very important because I have buddies on every system, and who wants to run four pieces of software?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're being forced to do. So all I can tell you is, you know, we spend a lot of time on that issue, which it's a shame.
Yeah.
If we had a standard, you know, we would be able to do more exciting audio-video features.
All pioneers have to plow the way. You've yeah. done that. You've broken down some barriers.
I think that's true.
You know, it's incredible that, you know, the telephone is still in business because you are so much better than and many of those because, you know, it's free. Like you
yeah.
pointed out, you can see the person as well as talk to them, you know, mm-hmm. in so many ways. It's so much better. Now, you mentioned after the election debate of 6 weeks, you know, you had a pretty hot area on Pal Talk. Are there other events that have cropped up in, you know, for a while have created quite a little stir on Pal Talk and then gone away?
Well, many, and they don't necessarily go away. I mean, the current one is, of course, what's happening in Iraq. And, you know, there's persistently lots of groups and lots of people talking about what the best strategy is to deal with that. After 9/11, sadly, you know, you had lots of it, you know, people talking about that. It's whatever the topic of the moment really is in the news. I remember the young woman in Washington, D.C. who disappeared. That was, you know, again, whatever was covered on mm-hmm. the news, these people want to talk about mm-hmm. online. We also had, and again, I don't think this has been done anywhere by anybody, we had a Middle East peace summit online with Pal Talk. And that is, we brought in, I think, about six people, three from the Israeli side, three from the Palestinian side, who were online in a group. We had about 700 people in the group who were able to participate from all over the world and get the points of view of these various, you know, people. And that's an extraordinary thing.
Yeah,
we had the
is.
Whole world participate, you know, with these kind of people. And again, I don't think there's any other way to do that except by using the computer. And you said before, you know, the telephone, how does it exist? I think for a one-on-one conversation, you know, phone rates have gone down so precipitously, I'm going to use the telephone also.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to talk in a group and I want to do video as well and I want to do text as well, I want to transfer files as well,
mm-hmm.
There is no better way to do it than online. And that is what we're riding over the top of.
That's exactly true.
Jason Katz is on the line with us. He's the founder and CEO of Pal Talk.
With the growth of wireless out there and mobile devices, are you guys working on porting your service over to mobile broadband and those kind of things?
Yeah, well, there's two issues there. I mean, one, I use Pal Talk at home. I have a wireless network, and I have my laptop, and I roam all over the place with
mm-hmm.
my...
sure.
Which is a pretty cool use because you're not tethered to any one machine or any one place anymore.
Yeah.
And they have those little cams and stuff, so you can mm-hmm. attach them right on there. So it's as good as anything was that was wired before. And then you have the other issue of porting the IM into cell phones, into Blackberries, into PDAs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very viable area as well. You see some activity there. Again, common protocols are an issue. It would be best if we all agreed on the same thing.
Exactly.
And it really shouldn't matter, you know, if you're on your cell phone or on your PDA that's wireless or on your computer. You should still be able to message somebody, but you know, for us, we're not AOL. We're a much smaller company, so we've tried to focus our priorities a little bit. But that's an area we surely want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, not for long will you be a small company. I'm just waiting for AOL to buy you out.
Well, if all of your users go and download Pal Talk after this,
that's right.
You know,
that
we'll
that
be well
happen.
On our way. But yeah. Interestingly, since I started the company, we've had 18 million, over 18 million. Downloads and it's a lot of
that's
people
terrific.
for you know, a rather smallish company to have, but that's a tribute to the user base that long ago figured out this was a great way to use their PC and their internet connection to, you know, vibrantly be able to talk to other people and video with other people and relatives. So they've spread it themselves.
It's hard to keep track of, what is it, 40,000 people at any one time using the service.
Correct.
But I'm just curious if you've heard reports of any well-known people perhaps using it as a way to gather information, maybe even news sources or, you know, celebrity types. Have you heard of that?
You know, I I'm sure there are a lot of people like that. I don't specifically know them, but the one that caught my fancy once upon a time was a guy named Too Tall Jones, I think it was. Sorry, my bad. Too Tall Jones played football for the Dallas Cowboys. This guy was Tree Rollins, is who it was, who played basketball for the Atlanta Hawks. And it's just kind of funny. You know, if you've got that many registrations worldwide, you've got that many people online, then clearly a lot of people, you know, are using that probably are a little bit famous. But, you know, that's a hard stat to actually keep track of.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sure. So what's next for Pal Talk out there? Are you guys working on any new cool technologies that you're about to roll out? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. We think the next cool thing is actually, rather than to have this as a program that you have to download, to do it via a plug-in for your browser.
Oh.
So rather than, again, say I'm online with somebody on Pal Talk, but I also have a friend who's online with AOL or Yahoo, and I want to invite them into one of these active groups we're talking about. So I'll invite them via URL, and they'll be able, via this web plugin, to just simply come into that group and participate without actually downloading a separate EXE and all that.
Mm.
And we think that's very exciting. And plus, you use the same technology to do a web conferencing more targeted at businesses rather than consumers, as we have been. So again, if you want to do your video conferencing, every business that's of any size has computers, and all of them have internet connections, and that's really all you need to do your video conferencing via these computers. So that is going to be a big focus, and again, we're going to do that via a plug-in for a browser, so that it's a much more seamless experience for the users. And we, you know, if you thought the telephone companies were having trouble before, you know, at $1 a leg a minute when you're doing a six-person conference call, so $6 a minute, you know, we're going to beat the pants off that and make it be much more multimedia. So we're very excited about that.
You're going to make it rough on the telephone companies, it sounds like.
Well,
what is it going to look like? I mean, this plugin that you're talking about with the browser. I mean,
it's about 350K. You know, you'll go to a website. You know, I don't have the website yet. We're running this in alpha right now. You know, it all works nicely. It'll also have a presentation capability. So if you have an Excel spreadsheet or a PowerPoint, you want to share that with the group, you'll be able to do that. But anyway, you'll go to this website. You'll either click to join an existing conference or create your own conference, and a small download will happen into your browser. You'll get prompted, you know, the software's coming down, yes or no. You'll say yes, and then all the audio video will happen within that web page.
Oh,
and again,
okay,
you'll be able to view those people who are in the conference, those who are doing video, and you'll be able to talk as well to the group, and again, share presentations and everything else, but without having to download a separate EXE program. And of course, there's an awful lot of people on Pal Talk. This will just be, again, for your private conference.
Jason, why don't you tell us some of the details of membership with someone that doesn't have it, wants to get Pal Talk?
Okay, well, you can go to paltalk.com and download the software, and it's free. All of the functionality, including the instant messaging, the interoperability with the other programs, the ability to do the voice conferencing in these groups, is all free. There's no payment involved.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, it's still ad-supported for those people, so there's some banners and such, but where we decided to charge the money was, if you want to view somebody else's video and you're not a paid member, you will get a still photo rather than a refreshing image.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to sign up in order to get the video to run, you pay either $29.95 for a year, mm-hmm, 1 year, so that's $2 and change a month.
Wow.
Or you pay $50 a year for what we call PAL Plus 6, and that has six video windows rather than three, and a 6 frame per second refresh rather than 3 frames, so much faster. And those are the two options available, and we have lots of people doing both.
That's exciting. I definitely can't wait to start using it.
Yeah, well, we we have managed to be a profitable internet company and survive all the carnage, and mostly, in fact, entirely due to a very loyal user base of people who have signed up with us.
Well, that's because you have a product that has no downside whatsoever. It's all good.
Well, I think that's actually proof that it, you know, you need a real business model, and if you have one and your expenses are in line with your revenues, there's no reason you can't thrive even in a poor market, which it clearly is.
Jason, thanks for coming on the show with us.
I appreciate all the time.
We've been speaking with Jason Katz, who's the founder of PalTalk.com.
Stay connected, because in a moment, a bunch of Web Talk guys are going to be invading our studio to have a rant about spam. Yes, spam, like the air we breathe, is here to stay. And several people will be joining Rob to debate the issue. You don't want to miss this very lively and kind of crazy session. And this is Web Talk Guys Radio. The Web Talk Guys are thrilled to be your radio hosts, but we'd also be thrilled to host your website, too. The Web Talk Guys website hosting service combines a high-speed, dedicated internet connection and the marketing power of a link from the show's website to help you. We offer all the standard hosting stuff for a very low, limited-time hosting price of only $10 a month for the first 3 months. To learn more, go to WebTalkGuys.com and click on Web Services or email info@WebTalkGuys.com. Web Talk Guys, not just your radio hosts, but also your total hosting solution.
Have you ever had to use PowerPoint? Are you in sales, marketing, training, or education? Then you need to know about Visual Communicator, the revolutionary new video presentation software from Sirius Magic. It won Product of the Year, and it can dramatically improve your business and personal communications. PC Magazine calls it astounding. See how Visual Communicator can enhance any website or email at SiriusMagic.com. That's SiriusMagic.com.
The whole internet thing can be confusing for a small business. What type of email system do you need? Who will host your website and maintain it? What if you have a problem on the weekend? There's only one company in the South Sound that can provide all your answers and 24-hour-a-day support, Optic Fusion. Optic Fusion can handle all your connectivity needs. They specialize in designing plans that truly work, on time, and on budget. Give your internet headaches to the local professional, Optic Fusion. Call 253-274-1726 and schedule a free consultation. That's 253-274-1726. Optic Fusion.
Don't you know who we are?
You web guys rock!
Gather around, webheads. Listen and learn.
They've done it to me, and you know what? They're gonna do it to you.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome back to the Web Talk Guys Radio Show. This is the place to hear your internet rant, and I think we're ready to rumble.
Let's open the kimono and look at the ugly stuff.
I'm joined in the studio by Mitch Radcliffe and Jim Crabb and Harry Whittefield, who is the CEO of InformHarry.com. Jim Crabb is a co-founder. Why don't you tell us what you're doing to co-founder the Tacoma Network? And I think we all know Mitch Radcliffe. We're going to start a new session here called the Open Internet Gripe. We're going to leave the microphones on and talk about an interesting subject that I'm sure is near and dear to everybody's heart out there, is all those spam emails that you get in your inbox. Should companies be allowed to send you spam in your inbox? What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Why shouldn't they? I figure I get up in the morning and I turn on my TV and somebody's trying to sell me hemorrhoid cream products and other types of products for parts of my body I hope I never get a good look at. I go to my mailbox. I see a value pack coupon going on with ads for cutesy-wootsy checks and discount rate carpet cleaners that come in their beat-up old jalopies to clean my carpet with God knows what kind of equipment. And I don't get pissed off. I don't take the time to write a letter to Valpak. But, boy, you send one email to somebody that didn't want one, somebody's going to spend an hour taking the time to send you what they think is a well-crafted email that I really don't care about.
Basically is that you already have responded and gotten some of these back.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, that's exactly. We had a service on our site where people were able to find out whether or not their credit cards were hacked, and we were doing a public service, and we still got some people that, oh, we don't want you to get in our faces about public service, and we don't care if our cards got hacked. You know, that's ridiculous. You send somebody something once, and they spend more time doing that than they do a delete key. I mean, frig, it's a delete key. Find it. It's real easy.
Certainly, I get emails all day long. I probably get 100 emails a day, and I'd say at least half of them are spam, and it is real easy just to hit the delete button, and it's not that big of a deal.
You need to get more emails so that the lower percentage of the email is spam.
Well, that would probably save me a few minutes a day. You know, when Harry has a good point, I mean, we get direct mail coming into our mailbox every day, and that's not considered to be spam mail necessarily. People just throw it in the garbage.
And don't get me wrong, I've heard all the arguments. We're talking about the fact that people pay for internet service, et cetera. Well, last I heard, I pay a hefty tax dollar for my postal service, and I pay...
You pay 33 cents every time you send a letter.
Well, on top of that, there's that, plus the fact that on my television, I pay for cable. I pay dearly for cable.
Well, I'll tell you, though, I think the difference is that we can do better than just spam on the net.
Sure.
We should expect people to do better, and that's what we're looking for in the people who market to us. I mean, from my perspective, running On24, where we personalize newscasts down to just the stories you want, we should be able to just give you the ads that you would be interested in.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't feel so much like spam. I mean, mm-hmm. part of the problem is that it's, you know, spam is like having to go to the doctor and get a shot. You'd just like to go to the doctor and hear that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
not have them pull out the syringe and go, well, just bend over.
Plus, I think...
I got to say, if one more person tries to sell me Viagra online, I'm going to get a complex.
Plus, I think people are scared of spam because I think people know that it's so easy to send that it could get out of hand. So I think that's why a lot of the government and a lot of political bodies have gotten in past laws that have restricted the use of spam out there. And I think it's because it's really easy for that to get out of hand versus direct mail, which is very expensive to send. Kind of has a natural limiting characteristic to it.
Well, I think spam's kind of like that whole whole sexual harassment thing that happened for a while. I mean, you get this, and yeah, it's still an issue, but it got so out of hand that you'd look cross-eyed at somebody and you'd be in court for a sexual harassment
mm-hmm.
suit.
Mm-hmm.
You ask somebody out once, that's one thing, but if you're in a position where...
What I think you're really getting at is there's a fine line between solicitation and between spam.
Exactly. If I send you one piece of email and you don't respond, that's one thing. If I send you 20 pieces of email, you're well within your rights to say, hey, back off. But if I send you one email, I mean, leave me alone. I've got better things to do with my time than look at your email, and frankly, all it's going to do is piss me off and make me want to send something back to you. So it's one of those things. If we, mm-hmm. it's all. I think it's about content, too, though. I mean, why is it that people get pornography emails in their inboxes? Do we really want our kids seeing that stuff? Yeah, I understand the whole freedom of speech thing, but I can't yell fire in a movie theater, so don't tell me we're a completely free country. I think we've got to be responsible for what we do say. There can be some limitations put on advertising as a whole. I wouldn't say put spam as a different category than regular advertising, because that's all it is. They're peddling wares. And if you don't want the wares, click delete, move on. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know. You see, the thing is that in this governmentless world of the internet, the individual is the one who has to go off and try to enforce the law. And they set the law in terms of, well, I don't want this, and I do want that, and I do want this. So to some extent, it's a matter of, you know, people reply and get angry about it because at this point there is no cop looking over their shoulder to make sure
we got a good police dog now. You're talking to the mad dog from informmary.com. It's all about people being able to come and tell us what's griping. Where are companies screwing up? Where are customers screwing companies screwing people, et cetera? If we start seeing patterns of some company, you can bet I'm going to bite them, and I'm going to bite them hard. Like I say, it's one thing to get a spam. It's one thing to get one spam. It's a whole other thing to get 10 mails in your email box from the same company that's abusing you, trying to buy the same product that you'll never use because you're not even the slightest bit interested. I mean, I'll never use minoxidil. You know, it's
yeah.
just not
that's,
my.
That's right. That's really where email marketing really is effective, is targeting that user in the end more effectively. And if you're just sending out mass emails hoping to have a shotgun approach to your marketing, you're not going to be successful at it anyway.
Well, that's
so
the flip side of that. I mean, that's the thing is, if we're in a free country, we do have the freedom to have idiots. I mean, for crying out loud, we got George Bush in the White House. I got to tell you, if we had two idiots to run and one had to come from Hollywood and the other was George Bush, I'd be like, run, Forrest, run. You know, it's just, that's the nature of, you know, people have the right to be stupid.
Jim, what do you think about how email's going to pan out over the next 10 years? I mean, it's obviously going to be a huge marketing medium, but do you see it growing?
I think like anything else, it's more of a free market approach. Mm-hmm. The companies that abuse email are the ones that are going to suffer in the long run. You know, I run a networking group with over 600 people registered with a staff of two, so we get our fair share of spam or solicitation. Solicitation, I get an email once, I ask them not to contact me again, or hey, I'm not very interested, whatever, and it ends. Spam would be something, I guess, more like what you would get with like a Hotmail account, where I see my name in a block of about 200 other people that have received this wonderful message, and no matter what I do, I cannot get them to...
It doesn't make you feel love when you get 400 emails in your Hotmail account?
No, okay. Not at all. And I do find it annoying, and I find it disappointing when I know that the sources, they're the same message and the same product, so at that point I have to assume it's the same company or organization playing with different Hotmail names or accounts to try and hit me repeatedly with the same information.
Yeah.
And that does get very
annoying.
It makes
you want to kill them, doesn't it?
Yes,
right.
It does.
Strangle them. I got to tell you, I get a lot more angry at people that send me email from places that I'm part of, like Yahoo will send me like 50 different offers a month that are special just to Yahoo members.
You could have opted out of that.
Yeah,
you could have opted out of that. That's true. But there, I mean, there is such a thing as abuse, you know.
Now, the frustrating thing that I've run into, for fun, I tried to experiment with some of the direct mail that, or spam that would come to me. And when you call back to these organizations and ask, please remove me, you know, take six emails, still don't get removed. Then I've actually called into the company and been told, oh, well, we're not really the company. We just handle all their marketing, and we can't really remove you. You have to call another company.
You spend a lot of time leaving your delete key alone, don't you?
Well, I use the delete key a lot, but I found that the delete key is a waste of my virtual space, my memory, and my time. When I have, like I said, I have an audience of 600 people that are applying to me all the time, transacting business or interacting with me, to have this extra time that I have to go through and delete blocks of email. And that's also assuming that all of us are using an email client that's on my machine that reacts quickly. Let's say I'm using Hotmail and I'm on a slower computer and I have to check 96 emails, which if you let your Hotmail account go for 3 days, you're going to average about 100 to 150 emails that are unwanted. It may take you a good 5 minutes on a slow connection speed with a slow machine to get rid of all that email.
Sure, but that's what the subject line's about.
One thing also, if you're a heavy internet and email user, and I've kind of felt this in my own life too, is if you get so many emails in your inbox, you have a tendency to just kind of leave it alone because it's like it gets out of control, you get frustrated because you can't keep up with it. I think over time, if spam really proliferates, we're going to see people not using email as much.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I'm reminded of the Lenny Bruce bit about it. It's called Eat, Sleep, and Crap. And it's about the evolution of police in society. And, you know, everybody has a place where they eat and sleep and crap. And then you got to have somebody who says, well, you can't crap there because that's where we eat. So you hire somebody to stand there. Well, then now, because they're telling everybody they can't sleep there or crap there or whatever, they're the Nazis, you know, and everybody starts, you know, protesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're a Nazi. Well, no, I just work for the guy who told me that you can't crap here. And that's where we're at right now in the net.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we haven't really got to the point where identifiable brown shirts have emerged.
Well, plus this is also going to stimulate the software development companies that make the email clients, I think, to put more filters in, to put more advanced features.
That's just a lot of hassle.
You think so?
I think it's a lot of hassle. I get 400
emails a day. So you think the
government
should get involved because the government is
no, I don't. I think what we ought to do is we ought to find the spammers and we ought to have some sort of – actually, what we ought to have is some sort of instant reply.
Just hunt them down. Hunt them down.
No, instant reply button that floods them with mail.
A return spam. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Drown them.
Working on that.
Drown them in their own crap.
Set it back the other
way. So instead of a denial of service, a denial of...
Hey, I think we just thought of a new company, Mitch. Just create a little software client.
Well, when you look at like your Hotmail account, they've been putting in sniffers and filters to try to block certain email addresses from coming back to you.
Yeah,
that's on the back
side.
But on the front side, they still allow you as a person to sign up for any email account and create a new account. So, in essence, you can block all of the email coming from me if I decide to spam you, but I'll just create a new account using the Hotmail service and come back and spam you with a brand new email address.
Oh, yeah. Most of my spam comes from lovetobewithyou@yahoo.com, you know, or whatever name they happen to use that day. So all those free email services.
So you know what it is. We're doomed! You're listening to the Rant and Rave section of the Web Talk Guys show, and you're hearing in the studio Mitch Ratcliffe and Jim Crabb. What do you guys feel when somebody sends you an email that has a CC line of like 50 people that have their email addresses exposed?
What do you guys think? I collect the email so I can spam them. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you guys do? Do you send an email back to the person that sent you that email and let them know that that's not cool? Or?
No, I find my friggin' delete key.
I think you depend on your delete key too much.
I can't even read it anymore.
There's a real dependent relationship there.
So many times the letters have worn off.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in and doing our rant and rave.
Hell with you.
It was wonderful. And
I'm out of here.
This is the Web.Guys radio show. And we greatly appreciate your listenership. Please come back to listen next week on Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon. Tell your friends about the show. Remember that the Web.Guys is streamed via the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you miss part of the show, we have each segment separately available for listening when it is convenient for you. And I'd like to thank our wonderful and talented web girl. She's also our show engineer. I would also like to thank you for being a loyal listener and hope to have you back next week. I'll see you around the net.
You gotta keep them separated.
Web Talk
Guys. Thank you for downloading the
Web
Talk Guys.
And Web Girl, too.
Log on to WebTalkGuys.com for more hot interviews and insider conversation during your week. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel, baby.